open the door for my message this morning, this evening. And I do have a short message this evening that I would like to bring that I think is right along this line, and after we do, we'll just continue on the service, and maybe testimonies, maybe exhortations. Maybe this sermon will evoke some testimonies upon your, by you that you have in your heart for outreach ministry. Perhaps it will evoke some exhortations you feel in your heart. Perhaps it will evoke some songs of praise and encouragement of building faith. I want you to turn to me to the book of John, chapter 21, and I've entitled the message, Cast the Net on the Right Side. And I should emphasize that, cast the net on the right side. Now I submitted to you that all the passages in the scriptures concerning the lives of the apostles and so forth have a spiritual meaning. It's more than a testimony of what God did in their life and how that they were without fish and they were weary and tired and God got them fish. It was more than that. God has called us to be fishers of men. And God is using all these things as signs that we might see spiritual implications in what Jesus did in that Old Testament age, because they were still in the Old Testament age until after the resurrection, and although until after the birth of the New Testament church at Pentecost, and although this was just right after the resurrection of Christ, the church had not yet been born at Pentecost, as it were, and they were still under that little bit of a cloud and lack of understanding. But Jesus was about to go away, and the Spirit was about to come to lead him and guide him in all truth. And we find a significant revelation being shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in the epistles that enabled the Christian to see profound things that they never saw, even when Jesus walked upon the earth, because he had to speak to them in Proverbs. He said, "For the time would come that I'd be able to show you the Father." And he meant after he went away. He means by his Spirit through revelation. And so these things were for our understanding in spiritual realms. In John chapter 21 and verse 3 we read, "But after the death of Jesus and after Calvary," which means that we are put into the church age, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth, and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing." Here we see self-plans. Peter said, being somewhat discouraged after having been with Jesus for 3.5 years in the ministry, and they had hope, as John said, that he would have been the Messiah, and they had hoped that he would accept the kingdom, honors of the king that he would not take, and they would hope that he would at this time restore the kingdom to Israel. And they were waiting for the hope and the consolation of Israel. But now that Christ had allowed himself to be taken and allowed himself to be killed, put into the tomb, it just seemed like the whole ministry that they had banked upon had come to a dead end. Jesus had promised them things. His name had been changed to Petros, meaning a rock, of Cephas, solid stone. It seemed like that the whole sky was bright in front of them. They'd been called to the apostles. They were on the verge of a new day. And everything just kind of dropped under. The whole thing just went out from underneath them. And it just seemed like that all the wind went out. He said, "Well, going back fishing. Going back fishing." You ever counted on something? God ever spoken to you? You ever had a prophecy over you? You ever had a message? You ever knew God's will? You ever had something burning? And all of a sudden it just seemed like everything was collapsing underneath you? Jesus is not done yet. He's not done yet. Don't write him off. self plans. I go fishing. We also go with thee under human leadership. Not under a divine call. But not under divine leadership. But human leadership. We join with you. We'll go too. And they went immediately, without a call. Immediately. They set the plan for their own life and they went. Have you decided something for your own life? You're just going to go? Have you decided, well, soon as school's out, I'm going back home to Kansas or back to Carolina or wherever you're from. I'm going back there and I'm going to get a job and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to go back and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go out, I'm going to do this. I'm going to... Have you just decided? Or you're waiting upon the Lord to say, Lord, direct me. Lord, it could be that I might charge off in the wrong place. Lord, I want you to lead me as to what you want me to do. Put it within my heart to make that goading strong and burn it within me. Lord, fill me with your passion. Lord, fill me with your strength, with your desire. Lord, make the call of God clear and clear to my heart. And whatever for souls and for the building of the kingdom that I might know and not dash off in some fancy, decide to forget about work and go off and have a lot of fun, just gallivanting around the country, witnessing the souls like a vagabond, come back here broke next fall, wondering if somebody's got a place you can sleep and some food they can loan you, and maybe college can be benevolent and take you in. Or on the other hand, you're going to just get a job and you're going to work and you're going to make lots of money and you're going to go to here and you're going to have vacations and you haven't asked the Lord what he wants you to do for this summer. Haven't asked if he would want you to wrap your fingers around the hammer when we build the upper rooms here. Haven't asked you whether you want to wrap your hand around a Bible or around a music instrument and head out someplace, maybe in conjunction with your job or whatever. Self-plans. And it said they caught no thing, nothing, no souls, no souls. Here were seven men capable, by the Holy Ghost, of turning the world upside down, and they caught nothing. Seven apostolic men caught nothing after toiling all night long. Now, these were experienced fishers, too. They weren't novices. They'd gone to Bible college. That is, they'd gone to fishing college, you know. They'd read the fisherman's manual. They had studied it. They knew about fishing. They had been on some fishing outreaches. But they caught nothing. Nothing. Because it was self-plans. Self-effort. Even if fish would have swam into the net, God saw on that day that every fish would avoid them like a plague, to teach him a lesson. Peter caught nothing, yet he was Petros. He was a rock. Bless God, don't you know who I am, fish? You got the apostle Peter standing here on the boat. Now get with it. I've been called with gifts. It takes more than that. Takes more than that. Not yet was he Petros. He was just called to be Petros. You may be called to be that dynamic minister of God, sold out to God, but maybe you're not yet. Don't fancy yourself sold out before you're sold out. They toiled all night. The quick results that they expected faded into grim reality. As they went out through the day to go fishing, and all night long they fished. And they stayed out, and they stayed out, and they stayed out all summer and caught not one soul. Not one soul. You can imagine as they were going back, tired, worn out, haggard. They must have been very disappointed. Very disappointed. All night. They decided they were going to go fishing. But they weren't doing much fishing. That is, they weren't catching any fish. They were discouraged coming back in. Enthusiasm has a way of fading when you're not getting results. God's blessing and anointing is not upon you, and you're not getting the results, it has a way of fading upon you. You sing in it seems dry. You're preaching, it seems dry. You're teaching, nobody listens to you. You pile all the arguments mile high and they yawn in your face and turn away. You pour it on and they argue back. And you stand there and say, Lord, what went wrong? What went wrong? But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that was Jesus. Here they were coming in tired, empty, and discouraged. And don't you know that when you come in tired and empty and discouraged, that Jesus is waiting? He's waiting. Just watching you. Been watching you through the night. His heart's been with you. He watches you come in empty. He knows you're discouraged. But they were too tired, too discouraged to recognize his presence. You know, when you're too tired, when you're too discouraged, you don't recognize Jesus' presence. He's there, but you don't know it. He was right there on the shore, and they didn't even know it. They didn't know it was him. You don't know it. You think God's left you, and he's right there all the time. Verse 6, he said unto them, cast the net on the right side. Now go back out and cast the net on the right side. Now another one of the Gospels said, Peter said, Lord, we have been fishing all night long. We just got up. We've just been out there. Nevertheless, at your word, we will. They turned around and they went back out again. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes. Now, what we learn here is that Jesus sent them back to the same waters to minister that they came out of. The problem wasn't the place. There were lots of fish. They could have fished on any part of the Sea of Galilee. That wasn't the problem. The problem was not that they didn't go to the right place. Fish are no respecter of nets. The problem was that they were fishing on the wrong side of the church. That was the problem. They were on the wrong side of the church. They were fishing. Oh, it may have been traditional for them to fish on the left side. They make the circle that way, and they two boats were working in conjunction with each other, and they made the loop to draw the net in. But he said, I want you to do it on the right side. There's a difference in which side that you're putting out the gospel net. If you're doing it and with your big fanfare, and you're doing it with man's programs and man's ideas and man's traditions and big banners, it's going to be done by blood of money and all this type of thing, it's going to fail. If you're doing it in self-interest, if it's for that, so you can be something, if you're doing it for any reason or in any way that is not God-ordained, God-called, it will not be God-blessed. The problem was that they needed Jesus as the outreach director. That was the problem. They needed a director to tell them how to do it. Now this summer, as we go out to minister to souls, would you make Jesus your outreach director? Don't decide that because you've been to fishing school that you can catch fish. You know one thing they learned? They learned that they do not catch fish by themselves. They had to learn that we don't catch our own fish, that Jesus controls both the fish and the fishermen. He proved that to them now. And now that was an unusual miracle. Now normally you could go out and you could fish on any side of the boat you want. It wouldn't make a bit of difference. The same fish you're down there. Well, we went on one side of the boat or the other side. But in this case, God controlled the no catch and the big catch, that he might teach them a spiritual lesson. See, that's what it was all about. And he might teach them a spiritual lesson. He taught them that self-will was not God's will. Now, I want you to know that they went back again, and they were tired. They were tired, but they got results.
they got results. You may be tired, but if you do it God's way, you'll get results.
Now, the catch revived their spirit, because we find that in verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, Peter, John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when the spirits are revived, they recognize them. They now recognize them. They're tired, but the spirits are revived because they got such a huge catch. They're excited, really excited. This is going to bring in a lot of money and make a lot of food for time to come. When Peter comes home to his wife, he's going to have a lot of gold coins jangling in his bag. She's going to be able to have those new things that she wanted. And, you know, you ladies know what I mean. And they're excited. But this was an enormous catch. In fact, it was so big, they couldn't draw it into the boat. So they had to pull one end to the net, to the shore, and the other boat came in dragging the other end. They had to kind of pull it right into the shore. They couldn't even get it into the boat. Although it was so full. It was so big. And now they recognize the Lord. I want you to also know that they went back in the daylight. They went back when the sun was out. That is, they went back when they could see. You know, you got to fish. They were fishing now when they could see. Before, they were fishing when they couldn't see. Now you're going out and you're fishing when you can see. Now, even when you can see, you cannot see the souls. You can't see the fish. You can't see the souls. But you're out there when the sun is looking down upon you. You know, and Jesus is there. After Pentecost, we find they cut a great drought here. And after Pentecost, we find that they caught 3,000 in one day. And then a short time later, they caught 5,000 in another day. Well, that's 8,000. That's a pretty big congregation just like that. Just in 2 days' work. Besides that, they were adding to the church daily those being saved, as the Greek says it. Daily, those being saved. Daily adding. How do you think people were adding daily? People were fishing. People were fishing. People were winning souls. Every day's outreach day. And I want you to realize, I came in dragging the nets in verse 8, that this was a big miracle catch by the Lord, but it did not alleviate hard work for them. They had to drag the fish in, they had to drag it in, they had to do a lot of hard work, even though it was a miracle catch. Now, just because God's in it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's still going to be hard work. It's going to require your human effort. Your arms are going to have to pull in. And your arms may be tired in pulling, but you're going to have to keep pulling because the souls are there. Because the souls are there. Then I want you to notice something in verse 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. And fish laid it thereon and bread. Here they come in. And Jesus already had a fire all ready for the fish they were going to catch. See, he already is waiting. He already expects you to bring that load in. He's there, got the fire all ready for you. He has, the Holy Ghost has the fire kindled. And we see something else. He had some fish already on there. He already had, well, where did he get them? There he was with fish on them, there was bread on the fire already. This tells me, although he sent them out through human effort to bring in those fish, he himself had fish. In other words, his spirit will draw by itself converts. His spirit will. He works through men, but his spirit had converts that he had worked on himself. And he had his bread, a bread of life, that his spirit had imparted to them, his word. It's all not done one way. He already had converts. Then we find out that Jesus said to them in verse 10, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, for there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now, the net represents the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us. And the kingdom of God was not broken by bringing in all these new ones, because they were now in right shape to handle them, to take care of them. They couldn't even get him in the church out there. But they brought him into where Jesus was, and the nets did not break. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Isn't that interesting? As soon as they brought the converts in, he said, come and dine. Now, that's true both in the spiritual and prophetically.
It's true that when you bring converts in, you can dine at Jesus' feet. You find out that His Spirit will begin to work with you. But we also find that when we bring the converts, have brought them in these last days, He's going to say, come on up and dine. Come on up and rest. Take of the marriage feast. Have a banquet. You brought them in. Now come and dine. Just come and dine. It's been nighttime. We've been laboring hard. We haven't been catching an awful lot. And you say, oh, well, look how many we've caught. Wow, I mean, we've come from one family to 1,000 people in 8.5 years. Who else is doing that? You know what that's saying? Nobody else is catching anything either, huh? Nobody else is catching much. You say, well, that isn't very much. Well, let's put it this way. Let's just go back a couple of years, and let's just say we got 400 people. If 400 people each could win one soul a month, you would double every month. So 400 in one month, you would have 800. The next month, 1,600. Then 3,200. Then 6,400, you see. Then 12,800. Then 25,600, see. And now you're showing me 25,600. You know what I thought, how many that is? You see, you couldn't. It wouldn't be very long before the year's out, you got the whole city. Now, how much fish have we been catching? It looks big alongside the other people not catching anything. But really, if each one of us win just one soul a month, and could bring them, and even brought half of them in to the church, why, we would really grow. We would really grow. Well, I close by saying that this summer, we go fishing. But let's don't just decide that we're going to head out there with self-effort. Let's let the Master say, go out. You say, well, you're saying don't just go out and don't witness? Well, no, because Jesus did send them out. After all, He called on the fishers. I mean, He didn't say come on the shore and stay on the shore. He sent them out. He sent them the same place they would have gone anyway. But He was telling them to do it with right principles. He was saying, let my Spirit go with you. Let me draw the fishes in. Pray that His Spirit will draw the fishes in. Pray, you see, that His Spirit, pray, and so His Spirit will draw the fishes into the net. God wants to work at both ends, both on the preacher and the preachee, you know what I mean? We are expecting, we are hoping, we are praying that you will catch the vision with us and be praying and asking God, His Spirit, to lead us into the greatest evangelistic effort for souls that we've ever had at Community Chapel this summer. We want to spread the net out. Does your summer include God? Does your summer include souls? Does your summer include you ministering for the Lord? And we want to have, a little later on, will be next Thursday morning in chapel. I'm going to be bringing some impact and some various things about outreach. Ron Lowry will be bringing things from time to time in chapel. And next Friday night I'll be bringing more detail. But suffice to say now, is when we reach out into this city, and we're going to try to, you know, God spoke about a year ago, and about April. He spoke saying that He wanted to give us the city. That doesn't mean every man, woman, and child. I don't think He said it quite that way even. But He wanted to give us souls of this city, and He wanted to have us start out from this city. This city is here. It's our responsibility. This is where He placed us. It's in our sphere of influence. It's right here under the shadow of our net. They can come into the church and get kind of built up and prepared before they come into Bible college. And they need that, because we lost a lot of people from Bible college last fall. They came in unprepared for gospel services commitment and got hit with wham. They loved it, but the commitment was huge. They weren't able to all pay the price. They dropped out, and we had a lot of backsliding and dropout, a huge dropout number. If we can get them into the church and get counselors working on them, new convert counselors, get people working with them and building them, and get them built up so that when fall comes, they're ready for Bible college. They'll just hit right into a Bible college with all kinds of the word they don't understand much about and brand new in their commitment. Get their commitment established before you get them into school. They'll last longer. They'll stick. And it behooves us to work this problem really hard and not lose them next year. Not lose them. What have you been doing? You've been spending all your time just getting keep yourself head above water so you don't drown? Or have you been pulling them in? Have you been teaching them? Have you been building them up? Have you been helping them? Have you been reaching out? Have you been looking to see who was there? Have you been reaching out to say, is there any new students that need help? Or do we just let them go on the way? Oh, somebody else will take care of them. I think we need to be more sensitive, don't you? I think we need to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen.
Verses 49 to 50.